everybody, and welcome to the Sunday morning discussion group at Wings Christian Fellowship. Clyde, would you open us up with a word of prayer?
Precious Lord, we thank you for your presence here today. Because, Father, we're confident in this. Your word declares where two or more are gathered in your name. You are in our midst.
Yes.
We thank you for being here. We thank you for Christ in us and us in you. So, Father, we just ask you, open our hearts and open our ears. We ain't talking about these ears. We're talking about the ears of the heart. That, Father, we would be receivers and givers of the word of life. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm Clyde.
This has nothing to do with class, but I feel like I should read this. Only one verse. In his fullness have all we receive, and grace for grace.
Amen.
That's it.
Yeah. We agree.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
I don't think we went any further. Clyde, you're kind of my place keeper.
Actually, I was reading this yesterday and today, and I didn't know where we stopped. Oscar or anybody? Oscar?
I'm trying to look here.
We're going back, by the way, 2 weeks because we didn't have class last week.
Yeah.
So,
26th. Yeah, so you guys have not actually missed.
I think we might have went down to around 24 or somewhere in there.
I was going to say, we read
six.
Only from 25 to 27,
yeah.
And then Clyde started off a little earlier.
Yeah. So, pick up anywhere in there, I guess.
Let's go ahead. I'm having trouble here getting my... Brenda, I don't think I've heard you read for a while.
I remember reading down to 30.
30, yeah. I think we went from 25 to 30.
Yeah. I don't have to make it. I always take notes. You've read last.
You've read
last? Yeah, I read down to 30.
All right. So then you remember, you know, it's supposed to start at. Are you going to start at 31?
Are we all done with 25 to 30? Going once? Okay. I think Clyde is...
So we'll start at 31 and then...
He seems to be our Matthew 5.
Can I say one thing?
Why, sure. Yes.
Because I don't remember us talking about if you're right, I offend you, pluck it out, and all that. So, I was just going to tell you that that word for I there, you know, in the outline of Bible usages in my, you know, like Strong's and all that kind of stuff, I'm going to give you the metaphysical thing for I there,
okay,
definition, okay? And a lot of times metaphysical is just something that's above what is normal, you know what I mean? It's higher, it's a little bit higher. And here's what it means. It means the eyes of the mind, the facility of knowing. So when if he's saying pluck out your eye, he's saying pluck out the things in your mind. You know, that could mean
that's right.
Pluck out the things in your mind, the facility of knowing, so that the facility of you knowing, I'm gonna give you a bigger definition than that myself, but your facility of knowing will be not on the natural plane.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That you'll know God even as He knows you. Okay. So I don't know. You know, I just thought that was kind of good the way that said
mm-hmm.
that.
Looking up in the Strong's.
And I remember, and I was going to say this too, because I know whenever we went through there, I don't remember us talking about that very much.
Mm-hmm.
I remember many times hearing Brother Shepherd say, your heart is in your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I thought about that when I saw that definition. Your heart is in your eyes, the eyes of the mind, you know. And that's the spiritual level of your eyes, you know what I mean. And I just thought I'd throw that in there just before we move on, because I thought that was really good, you know.
I also remember Brother Shepherd, not warning, but telling, sharing with Imogene that she had to be very careful, because she had those big, wide open eyes, and, you know, she was just so, and always seemed to find the good in people and everything. He said, you are going to, as you walk this earth, you are going to have to counsel yourself, because you are, you easily accept.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. When it comes to eyes, I always go with that. If your eye be single, the body be full of light.
Mm-hmm.
I think having that, I'm going to go back, not speaking of anybody, but I'm going to go back. If you have a really wide eye, you probably have a lot of dim in your life, or misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you have a single eye, I believe we're all concentrating and leaning on God's understanding of the facts instead of our own. Because when we look at it, haven't you ever had trouble? I shouldn't even say that. Haven't you ever had trouble of not leaning into your own understanding? I mean, in Proverbs, it encourages you to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, when you do that, I bet you struggle not only with understanding, but just, well, why did that happen? You guys are going to think I'm crazy. I try never ask God, why did that happen? I believe, I was talking to Oscar a while ago, I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe it happens for his royal purpose that we might never, ever know.
Mm-hmm.
But I never challenge it. I challenge it. I was telling him, J.D. Vance is, just throw out there, cousin lives right across from me. All these ladies were telling that they stayed up and all this other stuff. I looked at him, I said, hey. He goes, yeah. I said, I believe in the sovereignty of God. I said, I was sound asleep at 8 o'clock. And before I went to bed, I told God, I said, your will be done. I said, in the morning, we'll see what your will was.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let it do that. He goes, I said, man, you want to get in these politics or stuff? I said, I ain't doing that. I said, my confidence, I mean, my surgery, my confidence is in God.
Right.
I mean, who does he want to be glorified?
Him.
And right?
No,
and that's when you quote that a lot. I'll give not my glory to another. And then you encourage the body of Christ to know you're not another.
That's right. That's right.
I'm thrilled with the teaching of the Holy Spirit. It's God's work. So
I looked at all the things. I always worked the poles, electric poles, and this one niece of mine. There's some in the family that was against, was for whom she was not. And she was saying, I got to step back a while and take some pause because she had. And I said, it doesn't make no difference who's in. That is God's will. And he'll take anything to receive glory, no matter. And God kept giving me, gave me the song. My hope is built on, I even put it on Facebook because people were saying so many things and I just put it on there. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name.
Boy,
and then he kept giving
right.
me this
that's
song.
It.
I look to you. He is wanting us in all circumstances, all situations, anything we're facing, to look to him.
Well, you know, when we do that, come what may, from day to day, when that's only
yes.
how we're supposed to leave it,
yes.
live anyway, is day to day.
That's it.
Come what may, from day to day, tell me that as long as you trust the Lord, do you worry as near as much as you used to, or do you worry at all? I go like this. I said, I still believe, and I know you guys get tired of me hearing me say this, I still believe in his hand is his plan.
Yes.
And when we are no more, we'll still be in that hand. That should be our testimony. And you know what? And we don't necessarily have to say that to people, but we should live that. Because they're going actually, come on, they're going by this eye.
Well, people have a tendency, and Christians fall right into that if they're not careful. They have a problem of trying to identify themselves with something. Your identity is hidden in Christ.
Right.
And your true identity is in him.
Yes.
And any identity that you're putting out there beyond that is a false identity. It's not your true identity. And you're walking around in a false identity. And, you know, I've tried to bring that in a soft way out there a few times to people. And I've had people get really mad at me because I would say, as far as this political stuff, you're not a Republican, you're not a Democrat, you're not an independent, you're a Christian. And as being a Christian, you know, you follow what you feel like the Lord has you follow, whatever that is, you know. And you know, I don't care who is in there. I mean, I've heard awful things said about every politician that's run in the past, ever since I've been a Christian. Some people say this guy's great, he's bad, and this one's bad, and he's great, and you know, and you get that stuff all the time. And that's because people are observing the natural and not observing the spiritual. God sets in there, whoever he sets in there, for whatever reason he sets him in there.
He's going to receive
I told
glory.
Clyde when we were talking out in the front, I said, what did he say about Pharaoh? He said, for this very cause I raised him up, that my glory might be seen in the earth.
That's scripture God gave me when I talked to someone.
Yeah, I mean,
that.
So whether it ends up being what you would call good or bad, and we're not supposed to judge according to that, that eye, so to speak. Our eyes supposed to be single. We're supposed to judge and say, Lord, you know what you're doing.
That's right.
I don't always know. I don't always understand it. I don't have to know. I don't have
That's
to understand.
Right.
That's right.
Your will be done. And we should pray for whoever is in political
office. Well, that's what I was going to say. That's how God balances us out.
Sure.
He takes his word and says, I'm going to show you how much control I have.
Yeah.
I want you. And he's talking about the inner Christ in you. That's who he's talking to. Mm-hmm. By the Holy Spirit. He wants you to pray whoever I put over you.
Yeah.
Now, I used to do that with my bosses all the time. Did they know it? No way. But, man, when they see you singing and dancing, and that guy says, why are you doing that? I said, because the God I serve, the one that's King of Kings, wants me to celebrate what you've done, what you've given me. That blew his mind. Because I'll tell you what it did. The Holy Spirit convicted him on the spot. He said, actually, I did you wrong. I go like this, but God meant it for good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't have to explain that stuff.
Wow.
Let the Holy Ghost explain it. And you know what? We need to rejoice that, because Kurt's listening, I'm going to say, we need to rejoice for the fact that we get to go to work. We get to have a job. I know, mm-hmm. I know that jobs, I mean, my wife once said something to me, and I'm not sure when she said it, but she had me crying. She said, thank you for going to hell for me. Your job has mm-hmm. got to be horrible. And I go like, she didn't know that by what I said.
Hallelujah. Yes.
And I go like, yes, it's a privilege. Come on. What are we supposed to do? Give our life for our wives.
Yes.
As Christ loved the church, aren't we supposed to love our wives that much?
You know, even going back to those two verses, 30 and 29 and 30 there, even in 30 it says, and if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast away from thee. Is it not profitable for thee, one of thy members should perish and not thy whole body should be cast into hell. You know, is what it says there. But think about it. Why didn't it just say hand? Why did it say right
yes.
hand?
Yes.
Why did it say right hand?
It's the feminine side.
Right hand is the power hand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
the hand where you do. Well, the majority of people are right-handed in this world. There's some left-handed.
Yes, they are.
But the majority are right-handed. And when he's talking about your right hand, what happened when James and John's mother, the sons of Zebedee, went to Jesus and said, when you come into your kingdom, can one sit where?
On your right
hand. On your right hand.
Yeah.
That's the hand of power. That's the hand of authority in Scripture. And she said, well, that's not mine. He basically said, it's not mine to give. It's just the Father preordained
it. I love it. I love it.
You know, and we know that that Benjamin in the Old Testament, his name was son of the right hand.
Yeah.
He was left-handed, though. Well, why was he left-handed? Think about that. If you, he said, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. Well, what's he saying? Now, with Benjamin, he was left-handed.
Mm-hmm.
So that meant that
his strength
his
was
power,
in,
his power was in
was
his left,
left
hand.
Hand. Right.
Well, if he's sitting next to Jesus and he has to put his hand in Jesus' hand, what's he have to do?
He's submitting his power.
He has to put that left hand in there.
Right, that's right.
And then the right hand is still there, see? And even in the Old Testament, when people had,
leprosy?
Leprosy, I was trying to think of the word. When they had leprosy, the priest was to get them and to put oil in his left hand and take the finger of his right hand and put it in there because that's the anointing. That's where the anointing's going to run through the right side, see? And when you realize, when he's saying, on the natural, how many Christians have you seen walking around with one eye? In the natural. I haven't seen any, unless they were wounded in war or something else. How many of you seen walking around with the right hand cut off? I haven't seen any either, unless they were wounded in war or had an accident or something else. But the true meaning of that, I think, and there's a different level on everything. And when Jesus spoke, he spoke to them on a natural level, what to them was a natural level, but he was speaking to us on a spiritual level. He was saying, if your right hand is not operating through the anointing of me, then, you know, cast it off, cut it off. Because you're not going to have the authority and the power that I'm going to give. So, you know, I know that sounds bad, but when it says even hell there, if you look at the word hell, you might as well look at it, because it's probably Gehenna.
30.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Isn't it 30?
Okay.
Did they say
it's,
that?
It's Gehenna. And literally the meaning of it is, hell is a place in the future called for punishment, they say, but it was the Valley of Hinnom, south of Jerusalem, where the filth and dead animals of the city were cast out and burned, a fit symbol of wicked and their future destruction. Well, I don't totally agree with that. I think it's the wickedness in them will be burned up, because we know what it says in the New Testament, you know, that the wood and the hay and the stubble will be burned up, and only that which is remains. And we're supposed to turn people over. If they're in a bad situation, turn them over to the Lord, basically what we should do. And what happens? He's a consuming fire. He's the one that has to consume that thing up. But that's on a higher level than just what it reads, you know. Just read it there, then I say unto you, if you so believe the word of God, then you better get your butcher knife out and get at it, because you're going to cut your hand off. Just about everybody I know, at one time or another, you've done something where you've offended, you're going to have to cut your hand off or pluck your eye out.
Mm-hmm.
You've looked at something you shouldn't have or whatever. You know, so, but that's not what he's really saying there, I believe. He's saying something on a much higher level.
On the consuming fire that you say, wood, hay, and stubble. And our God is that.
Mm-hmm.
But his word declares he's also merciful.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the church don't understand.
Well,
is because whom they would give no hope, God goes like, I died for that person. Come on, Jesus died for all of us hopeless people.
Also, when you realize he lives in that person, whether they have committed their life to him or not, he is your very life.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
When God created Adam, what did he do? What did he do? He took
dust
from the earth,
mm-hmm.
and did what?
Breathed
into him the breath of life.
Right.
Yes.
And if you read, go back and study that, he, it says he exhaled almost violently into man, mm-hmm. himself. And he's in there, whether they know he's in there or not. So when that wood and hay and stubble in their life is burned up, what's left?
Just him.
Just him. That's right. That he's all that can be left. And that's the thing that people don't understand, is that, you know, only the precious remains. And in a Christian's life, when the fire of God burns in our life, what's going to be left? Yeah. Just him. His nature, his character, who he is, you know. But anyway, I just felt like we should go back and touch on that a little bit, because I didn't know if we did or not. I felt like we didn't really go into that much.
In the Strong's, wood, in almost every meaning of the word, mm-hmm. it comes out, you know, tree, wood, timber, but it always says gallows. Gallows. Mm-hmm. That's interesting to me. Mm-hmm.
Well, and think about wood, hay, and stubble.
Yeah.
What are they in the natural? They're corruptible. Mm-hmm. They will rot away eventually. You know, I don't care if you got the nicest antique going. If you don't put some really good sealer on that wood and everything, it's going to rot eventually.
But they can be used for good too. I mean, if you need a fire,
yeah.
Come on, we're going back to the beginning.
Yeah.
They needed a fire and they used wood.
Yeah.
And they couldn't try. California right now is having tremendous fires again. And I go like this, and I think of hay when I think of that, because it's just, and it's burning, and they can't contain it. And I said, but that's also a trick with us. When you get in the campfire, or around the campfire, you use the hay. What do you use normally as a starter?
Hay. Leaves.
That's right. That's what you use. You use the stubble, the hay. Right. I mean, once that starts, you go like this, it's a good starter.
We see years ago too, farmers used to burn their fields.
Yeah.
They don't do it too much nowadays because they plow that stuff under and stuff. But they used to burn their fields after they had taken the, you know,
the crop.
Because what it does is it creates carbon and it goes back into the soil.
Mm-hmm.
And see, anytime that you burn something with fire in the natural, you don't really destroy it.
No.
What you do is you release everything that's in it. And it goes to its base thing of being carbon. It turns into carbon. All of those things, you know, because you pick up ashes. What are ashes? They're carbon. They're, you know, and you know. So when you real, maybe when I share my sermon today, we'll probably get into some of those, you know. But maybe it'll make sense to people out there if they hear it. I don't know. But anyway, that's you know, it was a place where the refuge was burned up, hell, Gehenna, Valley of Hinnom.
1 Corinthians 3:12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, which foundation? Oh, the you always go back when he says.
What are you reading?
I'll go back to 3:11. For other foundations can no man lay than this is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones. Does anybody listen to any of the ads on? Everybody's telling you buy gold and silver and, you know, put your money in the things that will last forever. But it says in here, if you build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, they're all corruptible. You know, in that list.
Except for the gold, the silver, and the precious stone. Because if you put fire on gold, you just melt it down, it's still gold. It's still there. You put fire on silver, it melts down, you know. And precious stones, they're created through pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think fire affects them really. No. But the wood, hay, and stubble, it does. And he's using that, you know, the Lord gave me a poem years ago, and there is a treasure that's given to man not many of us seem to know. It's the treasure of peace and contentment, where in stillness the Spirit does show. The things that the Father has given that are truly ours to possess, the love, the joy, the health, the peace, and even the spirit of rest. These are truly pearls of great value. They're rubies beyond compare. They're the emeralds of his kingdom, and they're yours if you'll only but dare to simply take him by his word, by his spirit, learn to live. These treasures that he'll give you, only he can give. That's the true treasures of God.
Yes.
You know, it's not natural. And everybody that's trying to lay up the natural treasures, you won't be able to take them with you. I worked with an old guy one time, and they used to tell me about Leo having a lot of money. He worked in a machine shop, and you'd never think Leo had a lot of money, but I worked at Cincinnati Mill Crown back years ago. It was a milling machine then. And one of the guys told me, he says, I went to a loan company to get a loan, you know, and he said, and Leo had to approve my loan.
He was on the board.
He was on the board. Yeah, he had so much money in there. He was on the board, but he was
don't mess with
in
Leo.
There every day running the machine. You know? But that was Leo, see. And Leo, John the porter come around one time, and Leo told him, and this is a joke. Leo told him, he says, you know, he says, one of my friends, he says, he was Jewish. He said he had a lot of money. He said, I'm taking it with me. And he said he put all that money in his casket. And he said, I went to the funeral home. And he said, I saw all that money in there. And he said, I thought, He said, and I wrote him a check. And I took it all out.
And gave him a check.
He wrote him a check. That check was just as good as taking that money.
That's bad to the bone.
Now, you can't take it with you.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, he said, I wrote him a check. I took his money out and wrote him a check.
You know, brother, you know that. Brother Eddie used to think, he said, God has taught me to invest in people's lives.
Well, sure. Mm-hmm. That's good.
He goes like this. He said, line upon line, precept upon precept.
Yes.
Here a little, there a little. I mean, my goodness. I ain't kidding you. I'm saying that to you, and I hear people singing how great thou art.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's about that. We miss an opportunity when we don't tell the one that's next to us or across from us or just occasionally comes to church. You know, mm-hmm. I told Debbie, I said, it was my mission when some of the people started to leave us, they would never know anything but love from me. Mm-hmm. When they see me, they know I loved them.
Sure.
And I go like this, I said, how unchildish is it of me to feel like that hurt me? I go like this, they're led of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Those are led of the Spirit. I got news for you, our brothers and sisters are led of the Spirit. They are the children of God.
That's right.
And we should rejoice over that.
Right.
Anyway, sorry, I'm talking too much.
Well, I've had people who've left here say to me, why didn't you try to talk me out of it? And I said, and you know, I told them, I said, look, I said, I feel like you're mature enough to know if God's telling you to leave, you
yes.
should leave. I said, I'm not gonna go against what the Lord says. I mean, you know, I said, if God told me to come and tell you,
yes.
I said, then I would tell you, no, go, don't go. I said, you know, that's a decision that you make on your own, you know. If God's telling you to leave, that's exactly what you should do. Be obedient to what the Holy Spirit's telling you to do. But, you know, it's kind of funny sometimes because I think sometimes when people say stuff like that to you, then it was their ego that because you didn't beg them to stay, you know. Well, I'm not going to beg anybody to stay because, you know, I hope that most of our people are mature enough that they know the voice of the Lord. And if he's telling them, now if they're leaving because they're mad or they're upset,
that's right.
They're not going to get away from whatever was bothering them or making them upset.
That's
God will
right.
get them in another position, probably worse than what they was in before, chances are, you know. But, you know.
Teach me to learn quickly.
Yeah.
There's that one, the mountain in the north, where that one passage says, I'm so tired to go around that same old mountain.
Yeah.
You're going to go around that mountain
Well, what did Brother Eddie preach many times? He preached about build muscles. How do you build muscles? By lifting things that are heavy and it's hard and that comes against you.
That's right.
Stressing yourself, you know. And, we have to realize that the stresses that God allows and even the friction that he allows in us, it's to cause us to grow up, to get stronger in him if we'll trust him. But if we run away from any conflicts or things like that, then what happens is we didn't learn the lesson. You know,
You know why a trail is called a trail? Because it's been walked many times. Mm-hmm. It might not be by us, but somebody's walked in front of us.
Right.
I mean, that brings me back that we had no idea. A heavenly host that surrounds us,
yes,
that's already went before us,
and are still praying for us today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I go out, and anytime you drive the car, anytime, you don't know what's around the corner.
No.
You just hope that God's in that seat with you, and he'll turn you and go like this, who are you thinking of? God, let no harm come to whoever's coming my way.
Then you mentioned that y'all remember Holden, because he hit a deer the other day, and he said he had got a concussion. So they told him to lay home for 4 or 5 days, not do anything, you know. Now, not supposed to look at his phone or anything else. That's got to be torture for a young guy, you know, it's been this day and age. But they told him to go home and just not do anything because he was having headaches and feeling bad and all that kind of stuff. But you know, I was just thankful that when he hit the deer, he brought the car down to show it to us because we'd given him that car, you know, and he brought down to show it to me. And right after he did it, and I said, well, you know, hey, I'm glad you hit the front fender instead of in the middle of the car.
Mm-hmm.
I said, because a lot of times them deer will flop up and come right through your windshield.
Yep.
And I mean, he killed the deer. I mean, it was dead. And, you know, it could have come through the windshield, and I'd say it could have killed you. You know, I said, cars are cars. That ain't no big deal, you know. You get another car, you know, you can fix a car or whatever, or get rid of get another one or whatever. That was my thought on it, you know. But, you know, I was just glad he wasn't really hurt bad, you know. But he didn't think he was hurt until a day or so later, and then he started feeling bad.
Mm-hmm.
And concussion is something, you know,
it's damage.
It can mess you up. If your brain starts swelling a lot, you can really get messed up, you know. But anyway, just remember him in your prayers too. I just thought I'd bring it up, and you mentioned that before I forgot.
You know, I don't remember. Somebody help me. I don't remember. I know the song, but I don't remember who brought it to us. When I woke up this morning, my mind was stayed on Jesus. It's just that simple. When I woke up this morning, my mind was stayed on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next part of that is hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't it a privilege to wake up like that?
What does that scripture say about that? He whose mind is stayed on me, he'll keep you what?
Perfect peace.
I know that.
Sometimes you wake up already in the spirit. Your mind's already you've been asleep. And you wake up singing the song. Your mind's already.
I could sing it, but I don't have that good a voice. Anyway, it just.
Oh, yes.
God's God. Oh, man.
Praise the Lord.
You know, you're saying when things happen, you don't ask, why is this, what? But we should be saying, what do you want me to learn in this, God? What do you, he's teaching us something. Anything we go through, he's wanting to receive glory. So he's doing something in us with everything that touches us.
I like what Oscar said, his mother taught him. God's going to require many things from you.
Yes.
But don't hold on to them too tight, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's something that we need to all learn.
Like I said, the greatest piece of advice she ever gave me was learn to know God for yourself.
Because
no one else can know him for you.
Amen.
And boy, I tell you what, a lot of people look for the pastor or the Sunday school teacher or the somebody else to know God for them, you know, and they come running wanting that, you know. And, you know, it's a personal thing. It's a personal walk on each one of us. We walk together, but you know, that's why, like in Joel, where it talks about the army of the Lord, said they'll not break ranks, you know. Because why? Because they're all walking with the Lord, you know. He's the shepherd. He's leading you.
I think that's part of our job as the body of Christ. Yeah. We're supposed to fill in the breach.
Yeah.
If there's a space in it, to fill that in.
And that doesn't mean we're not supposed to help people, because we are, like you're saying, yeah.
It just, there's so many things that comfort every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I like the word where it says, withhold no good thing to them that it's due. Everybody I meet, it's due, especially if they don't know the Lord. Isn't it due for us to say something to them about it?
Yeah.
God's
so
merciful.
Because there is none good except God.
Yeah.
If you're going if you're just not withholding anything that's good, you're
got
to give
God.
Them God.
You're not withholding God.
That's right.
If He's the only thing that's good.
I love people that
God is the only one that's good.
The church all the life, and that's. What can I say? Like this. Morning, Lord. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. There's a lot of things you can say, especially if you're a singer and they most of them are. I got like this. Just, you know, give them a song.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Debbie told some lady that I spoke in tongues, and this is no lie. She came up to me, she said, give me some of that. I'm not kidding you. I said, some of what? She said, some of that tongues. I said, oh no, that tongues is to edify the Most High God. It's a personal language. It's between Him and me.
Mm-hmm.
And I go like this, and that's why I won't put it on display for you to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I said, it would deny the dignity, the glory that He has. It's all about glorifying God. I mean, why are we here? I quit asking God that. We are here to be that which He wants us to be. Be my children, be my people, be my believer, be my voice, be my hope, be my light in dark world. Be this, be this, be this.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know what? This is no lie. Every morning we wake up, we ought to ask God, what are we being today? Because
yes.
We're not being it by ourselves. I mean, we're being it with Him. And Him and us, and us and them. Well, anyway, I'm talking too much.
My God.
Amen.
My God. Clyde, excuse me, when you were saying that, it was not just that you were giving her what God said, you were giving it to her as God, with such a beautiful, your attitude was so beautiful, oh no, that's for God, you know, and everything that we give, if we're giving it with the attitude of God, with the love of God, with the acceptance of God, that soft, loving denial, that is so beautiful to me as I heard you say that.
The breath that we breathe is His presence.
Yes.
I mean, I know we breathe here. But actually, we breathe here.
Mm-hmm.
We're food to one another. Brother Eddie, I'm not going to apologize for bringing him up. He used to say this, and I'm not sure if a lot of people got it. He said, taste me and see that I'm good.
Oh,
Jesus. I actually believe that meant this, taste this. Because in this, He's life. And that life can jump out and become part of you. And you know what? And it continue every day. We're learning every day learning, every day coming to that place to where we're reaching the mark of the high calling, because we're no longer holding on to the things of the past. We're letting go of those things. We're living in the greatest day. I've lived in the greatest day I've ever lived on the earth. I mean, and I'm talking about the day I got the Lord. Because guess what? I still got the Lord. And He never has left me. And He never will. I don't understand.
Jesus never fails. Well, he hasn't yet. I go, huh, what? I mean, do we know what his word declares in us? It's just not a word on a sheet here. What it declares in there, in there, in the, in here. And I love when he says, he talks about, you know, we have the mind of Christ.
Right.
I think we ought to celebrate that, calling those things that aren't as though they are, because God wants us to tell the truth. I know I'm talking too much, but you know,
stop saying that.
What's it say about the truth? Didn't Jesus, he's the spirit, he's the truth, the life, and the way? And since, so I changed the word here, but I replaced it with Jesus. Jesus is the truth, the light, and the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, you shall know Jesus, and Jesus shall set you free. Did I just not replace truth with Jesus? Guess what? Our truth is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Getting better every day.
Do you know, I was thinking about that lady that came to you wanting to speak in tongues. Don't you believe that you created a desire in her, a hunger in her, or wanting to, from what you said to her and what you had,
I believe that we're not only created by God, but God has given us the ability in Christ Jesus to be creator of others. I mean, I know he created it all, but all things were made, Oscar quotes this a lot, all things were made by him and for him, and without him was nothing made. We're still the clay. And if it's his will, we go in the fire, that means it's his will to get glory. I mean, how many times have you heard about, I don't know the other names, but Shadrach, Meshach, and I'm hearing a different name now sometimes. And I go like this. And he says, did we not put three in there? Who appears in the fire? Now I'm going to challenge you, and the fire in you.
Yeah, it was Ananias, Azariah, and Mishael. And the meanings of their names were really good. I can't tell you right offhand because I know it, but I don't remember exactly. But I know Mishael means who is like God.
Oh, amen.
And how did he look in there and know that the other one in there was like Son of God? Didn't he say that? How did he know that? But that God revealed this.
There was a revelation of God.
Right, that's right.
Yes.
That's right.
But as he looked at upon.
See, we don't understand sometimes. That's like that story I told you all about Mahim, and what
yes,
it says in Josephus about
yeah.
Mahim. The same name is spelled different. And it's actually, if you look in some of the reference stuff, it quotes the two people being the same person, basically. That's what it says. But anyway, when he sent him to him, and he said, he called him, gave him a prophetic word that he was going to be a king, basically. He said, I'm just a normal man. He said, but you won't be.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but when you are, see that you do good and see that you're just and all this kind of stuff.
But
I know you won't. I mean, wow, man. I mean, he hit him over the head with a rock.
When he became that,
and
he didn't look at that word.
That word should have been burning down in his heart, see? And it probably was. But also his ego and everything else was burning down in his heart, So
what?
Aren't you amazed? I just find it so amazing at the many people's lives that I've crossed or they've crossed, and what you gained from it, and what God has given out through. It's just, there's this one sister I talked to her yesterday, I'm gonna cry. She used to come with us down to Elmwood. And I met her in 1967 when I was working at Dracut Company in Urbana. And there was just something
that, you know, Eileen talking about. And there's a bond that God has done that we don't talk in months or whatever. And if I call, like I called her, because she's babysitting for Tobias. And we always say our kids are our kids, you know, even my sister, her kids and all that. She told me that when she met me at Dragon, that she had already known of me back in like 64, she used to work for a telephone company, and she was an operator, and I would call back because I talked to my mom and dad because I had moved out there in 64, and she got to know my voice. And then, I worked at a company for a while in 1960, 64, lived out there. This had to be in 61 or 62. She had seen me on, I never remember ever seeing her. She had seen me on the job. And there was a drawing, she said, you stood out to me, then I hear your voice in 64. Then in 67, I meet her, and we began to talk. But she ended up quitting that job to be home with young church kids. And then she got in touch with me, and we ended up talking. And I invited her to a revival they were having. She got saved.
Amen.
She received a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then she ended up babysitting for Tobias. And there's just a bond that God, she told me, she said, that, well, you see, God is making us all one in one another and in Him. And every time we talk on the phone, God appears. I talked to her yesterday, and I'm telling you, there was such a refreshing and a renewal in both of us, the Christ in us. I'm amazed at that. And I look back at other people I met, because my baby sister, she went to church with me. She got saved. My sister, they used to call Audrey, that had a brain tumor, went to church with me and got saved. I just look at the connection that God now finds us. And we don't come down here, I miss y'all. Really.
You know, what you were saying, she was, her sorry unsaved self, and she just hears your voice, and she's drawn to it. What do you think she was drawn to?
Him.
Yes.
And I wasn't, and then years later, when she first saw me, I wasn't saved. No, but Christ is in us.
And then she sees you, and she's drawn to that. And then she goes out of her way years later to call you.
So the Spirit of the Lord was
drawing, and you were even totally unaware of it.
Yes.
That is who we are. That's what Christ in us is.
I remember Del Marvin's.
How beautiful.
I just look and see, and I just know it's the Christ in us.
Yes.
You know, when I think of myself, I said, I can't wait to go back to church and see y'all again and everything. And I know it's the love of Christ and what God is doing in us and how He is putting us together.
You know, when we were living in Florida for a couple of years, we were going to this Baptist church. And, you know, we hear a little handouts, little sayings, little this, little of that, and don't even realize how it comes from the heart of God.
Right.
We have something in us that to us is just like, you know, Christ in you, the hope of glory, blah, 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 blah. And you go on about your life. And and yet I go down there and I just go to a small group that they have there, and we have Bible study, and you sit there and you don't really do anything or say anything that's important or interesting. You're just trying to fit in with a bunch of Baptists. And you know, this one guy specifically came up to me, he says, I don't understand you, but every time you open your mouth, what you say grabs me. And there are things like that we have, nuggets of deep truth that are life to starving, thirsting people. He says every time, almost every time, and it will just be little things like that, you know, how God loves us so, and every need, you know, a little this and a little that.
You know what that is, don't you? That's the word of God saying he won't, his word will not return
void. Absolutely.
And guess what? You become his word when you open your mouth. And walk the walk.
So God is so good to us. Mm-hmm. He has allowed us to be a partaker of his life. Amen. Oh, I know we have to close. Somebody volunteer.
Yes. Oh, Father, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you.
Yes.
Praise, oh God, for what you're doing in each of us, individually and as a whole, oh God. Oh, we look to you and we just thank you and praise you, Lord, for the revelation of you in us and through one another, Lord. As you glorify yourself, and we go to this next service, Lord. Be glorified. Bring forth the word in Brother Oscar, Lord, that we may be blessed and we